This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to Radio Tyneside, hospital and community radio on 93.6 FM, Hospedia Channel 1 and online.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
And today we're celebrating Easter Sunday, the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. So please stay with me and let's investigate the reason why Christians get so excited about the resurrection of Jesus and why they believe that Jesus is alive today. Our first hymn tells about the dawning of a new hope in Jerusalem. The tomb where they laid Jesus is empty and angels have announced, "He is risen." And so let's listen to Stuart Townend singing, "See What a Morning." What did happen that morning? Let's find out with a reading from John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Do you know, the last time I read out that very reading was in the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem, the alternative site to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the place most Christians would regard as the probable burial site of Jesus. People say of the Garden Tomb, though, if this isn't the place where Jesus was crucified and buried, it ought to be. I can't even begin to tell you how that felt to be there in the tomb, in the garden, reading this. It was amazing, and I know others with me who felt the same way. But really, where the actual site of the empty tomb is irrelevant. What matters is that something of mammoth proportions happened there over 2,000 years ago, which changed the whole course of history. We've even based a whole calendar on this one event. Here's a song by Graeme Kendrick, "Led Like a Lamb to the Slaughter."
Led like a lamb to the slaughter, in silence and shame. There on your back you carried a world of violence and pain. Bleeding, dying,
know the resurrection really happened? How can we be convinced that the Christian hope is built on certainty and not just some wishful sentiment? The Bible tells us that the Roman soldiers verified his death, yet still some say that Jesus didn't really die, he recovered in the cold tomb. But then how, after 39 lashes, and losing so much blood on the cross, and having been alone in a cold tomb without medical help, could he possibly appear to his disciples alive as the risen and glorious King? With this argument, Jesus would merely have cheated death, not conquered it. There are some who might say that the body was stolen. Apart from the fact that the tomb was guarded by Roman soldiers, if the Jews or even the Romans had removed it, all they had to do to disprove the rumours was to produce the body, and they didn't. If the disciples had taken his body away, they wouldn't have been willing to die later on for their faith, not for a lie. In any case, they hadn't even considered the possibility of Jesus coming back to life. They were in hiding. Their hopes were dashed. Our next song is by a talented group of lads from the northeast of America, from Maine. They're called Rise and Run. And they've put two pieces of music here into one song. The first is Christ is Risen by Matt Mayer, and the second is Up from the Grave by Public Domain. The chorus of their song calls to us, come awake, Christ is risen from the dead.
Oh, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour.
Those who say that the gospel accounts all tell a different story. so it can't be true. But would it not be more dubious if all of the accounts were exactly the same? We all know that with any noteworthy event, witnesses tell their tale from a different angle. Also, the fact that a woman is given credit for bringing good news to frightened men behind closed doors says a lot. A woman's testimony then was legally worthless. So why was her courage ever recorded right alongside the disciples' cowardice? The simple answer is, because it was the truth. Then, of course, Jesus appeared to his disciples on at least 10 occasions over a period of 6 weeks. Some say these witnesses were just hallucinating, but so many people at the same time saw him alive. In one case, says the Apostle Paul, Jesus appeared not only to his disciples, but to over 500 people at one time. Then there are those who say Jesus came back as a ghost. But how can a ghost be touched or make breakfast, break bread and eat fish? We also know that news of the resurrection spread like wildfire afterwards, and people's lives were transformed. They were filled with his spirit and with power to carry on Jesus' work on earth. Even the archenemy of the early Christian Saul was converted after meeting with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Many followers would soon face persecution and death rather than deny their faith in Jesus. They were bold in their witnessing, and they faced martyrdom with such courage, for their hope was eternal life beyond death. In our next hymn, Charles Wesley writes, "No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my own."
Ah!
The disciples were now filled with confidence, but for now they waited and they prayed because Jesus had instructed them to. We'll find out why in the next few weeks. But bear in mind, Jesus' followers were Jewish, monotheistic, believers in one God, and now they were calling Jesus their Lord, the name used for God in the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. That last hymn was "And Can It Be" by Charles Wesley. This one is called "To God Be the Glory." Still today, Jesus continues to inspire, challenge, guide and renew us. Many thousands talk of knowing the power of the risen Lord. Jesus alive in us today. For in baptism, we die with Jesus and we rise to new life with him in us. Like the Apostle Paul, who said, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Finally, the resurrection also confirms Jesus' teaching and the promises he made to us all. He's not just speaking as one of God's prophets. He speaks with the status and authority of the Son of the living God. Therefore, his words are true. There is life after death. There is a judgment to come. And there is a heaven and a hell. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die." And so, as it says in Romans 8, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, and nothing will ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. May I end this week's Easter Sunday programme by wishing all of our listeners a blessed Easter, and to those of you listening in hospital beds, may the risen Lord Jesus be close to you, to bring you to health and wholeness and great joy and peace in believing, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Here's Thine Be the Glory from the Royal Albert Hall. Bye for now.